Welcome to another broadcast, Round and About the Guggenheim. Here now is our moderator.
Good evening. This is Mimi Poser at the Guggenheim. The loft may have replaced the attic, acrylics may have replaced oils, and latex and steel may have replaced marble. But has the life of an aspiring young artist changed very much from other times? To answer this and other questions, we have with us tonight four young artists who live and work in New York. Our fifth guest is Linda Shearer, a research fellow at the Guggenheim Museum, who we hope will give us some insights from a different point of view. Ms. Shearer, although she's only in her 20s, has already organized several shows, the most recent being the enormously successful Eva Hesse exhibition. Now I'd like to introduce our other guests and ask each of them to tell us a little about their background, his background, and training. Actually, it's going to be her first. Mary Miss, who's a female sculptor, exhibits in a cooperative gallery at 55 Mercer Street. Mary, would you tell us something about your background and your training?
I come from a moving background. I never lived one place, and I went to school one place and then another place. And
where did you go to school?
University of California, Santa Barbara, most of the time, Colorado College part of the time. And after finishing graduate school and everything, I lived in Colorado for a while out in the country and decided that I didn't like living as an artist outside of some arts center, so I came to New York.
Did you study studio arts?
Yeah.
Did you do any work in art history?
No more than was required. And I was always doing sculpture. I never did any painting, really, or any of the other arts.
Our next guest is Jim Reineking, a sculptor who has been in a group show at the Bikert Gallery, and he's from California. Jim, would you tell us something about yourself?
Well, I'm not really from California. But thanks. No, I grew up in Montana and started college in Montana and then went to California and went to the San Francisco Art Institute and graduated with an MFA and taught a couple of years in California and lived in the country and did that country number and got bored and came to New York.
Susan Rothenberg, who is married to another one of our guests who we'll meet in a little while, would you tell us something about your background?
Right. I went to Cornell University. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and graduated with a BFA. And I did have an exposure to New York before I lived here. Cornell had a program where they sent all their artists to live in New York for one term, and it was on Union Square. And mostly what we were told to do was to go to Max's and look at the artists and go to the openings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very exciting. So after that, I went back to Cornell and graduated, and then did some traveling in Europe. And just by hook and crook, I just gravitated back here and really got down to work. That was about 3.5 years ago.
Right. Now we're going to meet Susan's husband, George Trakas, who I hope is originally from Canada. That's what I have written.
Yes. I came to New York when I was 19. And mainly just to be educated. I never had any really formal training, and I didn't have a high school diploma. I started at the bottom, working through night school. And
what school was that?
Hunter.
Did you study studio art at Hunter?
No, I didn't. In the School of General Studies. Uh-huh. At night.
In other words,
I had no
formal art training.
I didn't in the first 2 or 3 years in terms of art history and stuff. I did work at the Brooklyn Museum, which is
when you first came to New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started at the New School, and then I went to Brooklyn Museum, and got into the art community basically through just people seeing work, and began doing carpentry for artists, sweeping lofts, and doing the
building stretches. Did you know that you wanted to be an artist, or did this just develop?
No, I didn't know. I mean, in Canada, I thought art had finished with the Renaissance, and that Michelangelo was the last sculptor, and that was the end of it. When I came to New York, my eyes were really opened, and a lot of new possibilities opened up.
Linda Shearer, would you tell us about your background? May as well hear that as well.
Well, let's see. I
grew up in Long Island and went to college at just outside of New York, so my whole life has been really based around New York. And I guess I knew from a very early age some of that kind of intuitive thing that I wanted to work in museums and eventually put on shows. About the age of 16 or 17, I started working at the Modern, and working during summers at school at the Modern, and eventually ended up at the Guggenheim.
Did you ever study studio art?
Yeah, mm-hmm. During college I did, yeah.
What do you mean, studio art?
Well, as differentiated from art history.
I mean, like real.
Because, you know, half the art historians come from a background of studio art, and I don't know about the vice versa, but many people at the museum are artists who have gravitated into art history, curatorial work.
I think it's very important, though, that it's very hard to be to be involved with any kind of curatorial work or critical work, and to sustain yourself being an artist at the same time. I think it's virtually impossible because you can't. You have to come to it with a very objective eye, and if you're involved in your own art activity, it's impossible, I think.
Well, but many artists feel that it's much better for curators and critics to have been involved in studio art themselves. They feel that it makes for greater sensitivity.
Possibly.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it's the objectivity that's important, and if one's sensitive to art with a capital A, one's sensitive, I think, and if you have an eye, you know, I think most people, many art historians have an eye, have what one calls an eye, and not necessarily, they can't do it themselves, and it's that ability, I think, that people can appreciate, really.
What draws you all to New York? Do you feel that New York is still the center? Jim, you look as if you want to say something.
Sure. I mean, it's just loaded with energy. And whether or not you believe it, it's still, I think, the most viable place to make art in the world.
I agree.
You think rather than Europe. Now, Susan,
yes.
you've been in Europe. Was it for an extended period of time?
I was totally incapable of working anywhere I was, of doing my work, partly because I just don't happen to rely very much on sketches and drawings and you know, small studies for work. And, I was really a prolonged tourist, but I couldn't ever feature settling down in some foreign capital and doing the kind of work that I wanted to do.
Was it because you just couldn't settle down?
There was no feedback.
There was no feedback.
And European art didn't give me the kind of excitement that I had been, you know, getting off art form all those years back in Ithaca and the one semester in New York.
I think that's a very important word is feedback, because I think that's a large part of what it is, because even if you do, the marvelous thing about New York, I think, and I think everyone will agree with me, is that you can isolate yourself totally. You can cut yourself off completely.
That's the very best part of it. Yeah.
And at the same time, at any given moment, you can see 1,000 different people. You can go to an opening and be either totally turned on or totally turned off by the whole art scene as it is. And you have just incredible realm of possibilities of establishing any kind of experience for yourself.
You're much more in control of things, I think.
So you feel that the focus of energy is still in America or in New York?
As Americans, I think it's in America. I mean,
the energy passed from Europe to this country in the 50s and 60s.
But I worked in Italy one summer. I was living there, and first of all, it was very difficult to get any materials.
That too.
Plaster or wood
or just
the most common things. Yeah. It's very difficult because they just don't understand. If you called up and ordered some marble, maybe they could get it for you, but if you're ordering, you know, 300 pounds of plaster, you know, they don't they don't understand why, and they can't deliver it. And also my own sources weren't available to me.
Mm-hmm.
I really missed having my background of what I was used to. I really draw on that heavily as an artist, and to have that cut off was very difficult. I imagine artists going to Europe, you know, earlier must have had a difficult time that way.
Jim, you say that you're not from California. I have Linda told me you are from California. And one of the questions I wanted to ask was about the differences in art centers in this country. Do you find there's a great difference within the country itself between New York and, for instance, California?
Yeah, I think there's a definite difference. I think New York artists and West Coast, because they're probably the two major areas of productivity in this country. And it's sort of material based on the West Coast. It's sort of, they kind of, oh, this is chrome, what can we do with this? You know, and in New York, it's kind of, I have this idea, and they kind of like scrub around, try and find the material to, you know, anything that comes up. So, and I think both of them are solutions. But this one appeals to me more.
It seems to me that what many of you are saying is that there's a greater availability of material and a greater knowledge of what to do with it in New York.
There are New York materials.
Do any of you use outside studios, for instance, to construct your work?
Yes.
You do. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, I go to a fabricator in New Jersey.
Uh-huh. What do you work in?
Metal.
You work in metal.
Yeah, steel.
But some things are amazingly difficult to
That's
get.
That's very hard.
Like
That's
steel, hard. If you want to get some steel. Like if you're living in a small town, you call up the local steel guy and he delivers it to you. In New York, you have to call all over and you'll find a sheet roofer who will finally sell you, you know, mm-hmm. some cold rolled steel or something. But unless you have, if you have a truck and can go out to Long Island and, you know, do all this stuff, it's easier. But certain things are very amazingly hard to get.
Yeah, I spent a whole day looking for a particular type of screw one day, and I went to like 100 places, literally called them and went to, and finally came up with a guy that gave me a whole breakdown on Phillips head screws. You know, and he just told me like everything I had to know about screws, and it was insane because...
Did he know you were an artist, or did he think you were a carpenter?
He didn't know what I was, and I don't think he really cared what I was. He only cared about screws.
As long as you were interested in screws, that was good for him.
Susan and Mary, I'd like to ask you about the problems that you do or do not run into being women in the art field. Do you run into any problems? Do you have any problems with galleries?
I run into a lot of problems. I think it's, I don't know, are you a sculptor or a painter?
Painter.
I think women sculptors have more trouble than painters for some reason. All the way through school, there were problems. Graduate school, undergraduate school. And it's very difficult. And
what was the problem, not being taken seriously or what?
You just are not considered to be a real functioning artist. You're somebody who's fooling around, you know, with the materials.
Well,
but you aren't given any of the fellowships, any of the teaching jobs, any of the studios that are available.
I think what you're saying about sculpture particularly is that somehow sculpture is traditionally a male profession or art form.
Well, it used to take some heft.
It's always relied on that image of the big, you know, tough guy.
Exactly. Mm.
So when I started, you know, working on my own, that was the first thing I, you know, wiped out completely. I started using materials that were, you know, that I could get any place that I could deal with extremely directly. And that sort of changed my whole, you know, way of working and sent me in the original direction.
In other words, what you're saying is that the problems you encountered forced you into certain materials?
Yeah, I think so, you know. I mean, I couldn't stand all those guys taking their shirts off and pouring the bronze, you know. And that was their big thrill, you know, just doing this thing, you know. They didn't care what it looked like or what kind of structure that there was or what kind of ideas they were putting in. So I just, you know, got rid of anything that was going to cause me any, you know, inconvenience or trouble and went to the, you know, source of the ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Susan, how about you?
Well, I agree that in college, I wasn't taken very seriously, and therefore, I did not take myself very seriously, and I did a lot of floating. And it was really not till I got to New York, found a loft about the second day I was here, and settled in and began to know other artists and showed what I'd done after I'd been a couple months, that I really began to get to take myself seriously, being in a milieu where other people took themselves seriously. And I really have not encountered any problems as far as being a woman and an artist.
With other artists.
With other artists, right. But
we'll
outside of, I mean, I think that probably is another great reason to be in New York, because I think that I would have those problems if I was in Buffalo or almost any other, especially in Europe.
I disagree with that as far as not having trouble with other artists, just because I've found that, especially with the, you know, all the women's stuff that's been going on the last few years, women are available to talk to other women artists, but other men artists are not so available. I mean, it's just the simple fact that you don't stop over and have a beer with this, you know, this guy and talk about his stuff, where the other women are much more available for communication.
The women are supportive, but the men aren't.
It's just that they're not. The communication situation isn't as available.
Well, now we have two male artists here.
Well,
how do you feel about it? Do you find that deep down you don't take women seriously as artists? Or
that's not. I don't think that's really it. It's just that, you know, the physical situations don't put you in
other words, there's still a distinction between men and women, and it hasn't been obliterated by the fact that you're all artists.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about personalities here. You know, women rather than their art, and, you know, men rather than their art and their attitudes. And
well, it seems
I
to
think,
influence
you know,
the
like,
attitudes.
Look at some of women's art. It's been, you know, extremely influential, especially in the art world today. You know, the presence of Eva Hesse's work just recently at the Guggenheim was evidence of that. I mean, she was so germinal to so much work. Through her personal contacts, right, but her personal contacts back between 66 and 70, you know, are very, you know, we're very, very close, make very close ties with the art. So let's talk about, you know, art if we're going to talk about, you know, the power
I think
of,
that's, yeah, I think.
You know what I mean? I
but
mean,
the question was, are you, you know, accepted by other artists very easily? You know, and she said that she didn't have any problem. And I'm just saying that my situation is that I do find it.
And I think everyone is
difficult.
Well, accept the fact that we're dealing, you know, when you're dealing with art, you're dealing with art, and to a large extent it is basically sexless. And but there are the personal problems involved. Or
well, let's get on to a different problem then, that of the gallery. After all, you. Your art is seen either in a gallery or in a museum. What are the problems of getting your work seen? Whether you are a man or a woman.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem. I think people, I found they want to test you over a period of time. They want to see your work.
Who
today.
Is they, the museums?
The museums, the gallery people, whoever shows the work wants to see it over a period of time. And I don't.
How do you make contact with a gallery?
That's another end of art that's probably as important as the art. I mean, if you want your work seen, that's hustle.
All right,
it's not necessarily a negative thing.
Linda, now we're going to get a different point of view. How do you, as a museum employee, go about finding young, new artists to show?
Well, it's not very difficult, because there are so many so many artists in New York. I don't know what the figure is, but it's unbelievable. As soon as people know that you do go around to studios and do look at work, you have a great many phone calls that come in, and it's either a question of someone recommending friends, artists whose opinion you respect or like or whatever, you'll see they'll recommend people who you'll see, or you know, it's really one of those things that snowballed. I got into the habit of going around to studios basically starting about 2 years ago, when I was looking for a young talent show that we did about a year and a half ago. And just from that one experience of initially going around to look at work, as I say, it's really just snowballed. I get incredible number of phone calls and people who want to come to want me to come look at their work. I think it's important to know that every museum, and this is a strange fact that a lot of people, a lot of artists don't know and don't understand, every museum has some sort of a viewing program. We have someone separate from myself who runs a viewing program at the Guggenheim. Various members of the curatorial staff make an effort to go around to studios. And of course, it is true, because museums have always relied on galleries, you know, to see what someone does in a gallery show and say, well, let's watch and, you know, I mean, the traditional attitude is let's watch and see how so-and-so's show is next year. And of course, museums have the problem of being so booked like 3, 4, 5 years in advance. So the gallery is the traditional kind of agent for a museum in terms of seeing what goes on. So that's why it's very hard, I think, for younger artists to cope with both the gallery and the museum.
Tell me something, what do you all find is the greatest difficulty being a young artist in New York? George?
Landlords are becoming hip to the market and are starting to jack the rents like $200.
In other words, so they feel like you're an artist and you're doing well because of what they read in the papers?
No, rents are going up.
They're becoming hip.
so many people that are not artists moving into the what used to be, you know, a sacred area, where not sacred, but just an area where, you know, a factory district where artists used to live. Now, you know, a lot of people are coming in that can put down $10,000 to get into a co-op. Most artists can't afford that.
So in other words, it's the physical problem of finding a place to live and work.
Right. 6 months after I got my place 4 years ago, my landlord, you know, desperately tried to throw me out. Fortunately, I had a lease, you know. But he discovered that a fashion photographer across the street was paying, you know, like $450 for a space that, you know, a little larger than mine.
I mean, it's the typical problems
kind of
survival in New York.
Right,
I mean,
exactly,
it's the rent, the food, the cost of living, the harassment. I mean, it really is, it's all those things, I think.
Jim, how do you feel about it? What's your greatest difficulty being?
I think my greatest difficulty is in isolating myself. I mean, being sure of my, doing my work is in a place of so much, you know, of so much stuff going on and so many people doing things. It's very hard to find your own sources here. It's easy on some levels, but very hard on other levels. And it's very hard to find your own sources to, like, keep narrowing what you're doing down so that it's really...
Well, then let me ask you, why do you stay in New York? Why not go off to the
country
somewhere?
All right.
That's it. That's the reason.
That's, yeah.
Because it is hard, because it is difficult, it's also like much more rewarding when you go through, when somehow you make that breakthrough and you get that little bit of yourself out again. I mean, it's much...
In other words, you have to find the balance between the not to have too much stimulation and to get enough stimulation. Susan, what about you?
Well, I sort of agree with Jim that there's a great big New York that I simply can't partake of, because you have to establish your priorities and you have to learn how to be in New York, how to mm-hmm. be able to do your work, I mean, New York is just, it can be a circus, or it can be a hermitage. And personally, I happen to have opted for the latter because I got too rattled, you know, with all the other possibilities of, you know, joining things, going places. There's a huge, vibrant social kind of scene to make in New York. It isn't especially conducive to being a productive artist.
Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry we've run out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for having been with us this evening: Mary Miss, Susan Rothenberg, Jim Reineking, Linda Shearer, and George Trakas. Thank you again for being with us. And to our audience, good night and thank you.
Join us again next week at this time for Round and About the Guggenheim.